not exactly going the way we'd like it to, but head on over to the Guy James Show. You can find out what to do there. If you'd like to contribute to the program, we'd surely appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Guy James Show today on the Head On Radio Network. And don't forget, you've heard from...
is the Quality News Network. Iranian state television today showed video of the group of 15 British sailors and Marines who were seized by Iran in the Persian Gulf waters Friday. The one female personnel member may be freed today or tomorrow, according to an Iranian official. Iran claims the sailors have confessed to trespassing in Iranian waters. However, the British government insists they were in Iraqi waters and has the GPS coordinates to prove it. Britain today froze all bilateral business with Tehran as a response to the situation. Today, the Senate will resume debate on the $122 billion spending bill that funds the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. It contains the withdrawal date of March 31, 2008. President Bush today accused congressional Democrats of meddling in U.S. military strategy in Iraq. He vowed again to veto any legislation with a withdrawal timeline. The president said, quote, "If we leave Iraq before the job is done, the enemy will follow us here." At the start of an Arab summit in Riyadh today, Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah condemned the U.S. presence in Iraq, which he called, quote, "an illegitimate foreign occupation." He told the Arab leaders that the sectarian violence in Iraq threatened the entire oil-producing Gulf region's stability. A sectarian revenge attack by Shiites in a northern Iraqi town killed at least 45 Sunni men. According to police reports, the Shiite gunmen roamed through Sunni neighborhoods and shot men inside of their homes. Some victims were dragged outside of their homes, then shot in the streets. In Fallujah in western Iraq, two chlorine truck bombs were detonated by insurgents. The blast near a local government building wounded 15 Iraqi and U.S. soldiers. It was the eighth chlorine gas attack by insurgents since late January. In Manila, more than 30 preschool children and their teachers were released after being held hostage on a bus for several hours. The hostage taker was a daycare center owner who held the kids to draw attention to poor educational and housing conditions in the Philippines. Tomorrow, Kyle Sampson, the former chief of staff to Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, will testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee about the 8 fired U.S. attorneys scandal. Sampson resigned from his job earlier this month. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
In new guidelines, the American Cancer Society recommends that some women who show no signs of breast cancer but have an unusually high risk of developing it should have annual MRIs in addition to mammograms. These new guidelines would affect up to 1.4 million women in the U.S. A Kaiser Family Foundation research study finds that most commercials aimed at children are for unhealthy junk food. San Francisco's Board of Supervisors voted yesterday to ban plastic checkout bags at large supermarkets and chain drugstores. San Francisco is the nation's first city to place a ban on the petroleum-based plastic bags. Animal rights activists are applauding Burger King's new policy of buying eggs and pork from suppliers that do not keep their animals in cages or crates. South Korea's electronics manufacturer LG has entered into an agreement with Google to provide the internet Internet search engine's products on its mobile devices. The Commerce Department reports in February durable goods orders were up 2.5%. The rebound was led by aircraft and auto orders. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.08 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is down 100 points at 12,297, the NASDAQ is down 20 points, and the S&P 500 is down 12. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. John Fox.
All right, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network for the beginning of another week. And for those of you that were tuning into the horn before I came on, you will have noticed there are changes afoot. And John feels like he now has to lift his intellectual game at the top and the bottom of the week now, because I have Dr. Bill preceding me. And I never went to uni, but I reckon that show feels like what a good lecture would be. So, you know, Mondays and Fridays, Dr. Bill, 3 to 5 Eastern, just awesome stuff. And there's all kinds of other stuff. Before we get into things, I'm just going to take care of some housekeeping here. And Mr. Jeff Allen Wolf, and if you have not caught his program and is particularly smooth style of doing radio, it's going to all become so much easier. Jeff is moving to 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern time here on the horn, and very shortly he's even going to be all wired up to take your phone calls. So, you know, and he's got such a great counter to everybody else on this network, and it's, you know, very magazine-y and it's very schmick, and he's got all this great imaging. He's making me feel guilty, but anyway. and don't worry, Joe Vecchio is not lost. He will be coming on before Jeff starting next week, but we'll have more about that as we get there. So things, they are a change in here at the horn, and this is all really, really exciting news. So now you're looking at, what is it, 60 hours of programming a week coming out of the horn. And, you know, not bad considering, you know, we only launched this thing with two shows a year ago. So, you know, check it out. Check out Jeff. And I think it's a, that's a great slot for him, too. It's going to be great. and Joe Vecchio coming back very, very soon. Now to get into business. Business. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, but before I get into the green thing, even though I hate how the media ends up reporting this stuff, how good were the visions from D.C. this weekend? And I'm really, really hoping that our good mate Phil's going to ring in to Bob tonight, because I want to hear reports from the ground, because 500,000 demonstrators and just some really, really great pictures of folks from all walks of life who you know, made the effort to go down to D.C. and basically say, look, you crooks, no more. No more. We've had it. And, you know, but the media, bloody, you know, even out here in Australia, you know, who's calling the shots? Bloody Murdoch and the rest of them. All you see here is, you know, Jane Fonda at protest in D.C. It's like, oh, my God, how bad is this? How just, you know, let's just paint it like it's Vietnam again, even though it's similar in many ways. But let's just, you know, focus on, you know, evil people like Jane Fonda and Sean Penn. You know, give me a break. It's just, they're just so sad. And, you know, I just think that's, you know, fantastic. Sorry, I was being kind of, my attention was pulled there for a second. Sorry, folks. What a sign to see 500,000 people in D.C. And, you know, for all, you know, I mean, I know it took an effort for those that went, and I just, you know, I was really heartened to see it. But yet, even down here, they said tens of thousands. But my favorite, and I mean, that's just minimalizing, but my favorite statistic of the whole thing is the fact that there was a counter-protest of 40. I'm liking those 10,000 to 1 odds. How about you? Oh, my. I just think that says it all unbelievably well. It's just a beautiful thing. But later on, we're going to do, for our track of the day, before we cut out to our first break, we got some B.B. King, because B.B.'s been in the hospital, but he's out of hospital, which is a good thing. And it was nothing serious. And to go along with the idea of great bluesmen, I've just figured since, you know, had a minor bit of a scare that, you know, a legend who's getting on, you know, could have been in trouble. But no. B.B.'s ready to get right back out on the road. I tell you, I still think the guy does over 200 gigs a year, something absolutely insane like that. You know, just absolutely just crazy. And if it doesn't prove that music keeps you young, that's what I reckon. So, you know, we got stuff to, I've got a great story coming up, and we'll do this when we get back, about one of the best moves, I think, to up the profile of the zero emissions car. And it's happened in Mexico. And I just think it's too cool for school. So we'll do that when we get back. And we got a couple of other things. Got some, where am I going? There's some reports out of Common Dreams and the Associated Press that this report that's going to come out in Paris, this international climate change report, is just way, 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 too rose-colored glasses type thing. And they're just seeming to ignore a few key factors as though they're going with, you know, what we knew up until, you know, 2001, and as you and I all know, things are accelerating as far as the changes to this planet. So, you know, we're going to go out to our first break here as I get kind of things organized, and we get into some interesting green stuff and some B.B. King. I don't know. I'm feeling very loose for Monday, and I don't know. It all just It's all a bit different because I have Bob Kincaid producing today. What an honor. So thanks, Bob, for coming in today. So let's go out and take this break. I'm going to get my head together. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to you about a really, really, really cool electric car. We'll be right back.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And not only is it Bob, but we've got Bob and Agnes. It's Team Kincaid. Oh my, I better get my act together. So all right, how to make the image of a zero emissions car cool in one really cool move? Check this out. British Embassy Mini Cooper. Hybrid Technologies, which is one of the big lithium battery outfits, who are involved in many of the projects on electric cars and hybrids, has successfully provided the British Embassy in Mexico City with the world's first lithium powered embassy vehicle, and it's a Mini Cooper, right? The vehicle is a BMW Group Mini Cooper 5-speed. It was selected by the embassy and Hybrid Technologies as it was both highly popular vehicle and it had the British recognition value. as well as being a technically sound vehicle to engineer and convert. The British Embassy Mini Cooper is powered by a state-of-the-art power plant producing zero emissions whilst providing high performance. The model is of particular interest to international governments as it is a prime example of sustainable zero-emissions transportation. Hybrid Technologies will produce several models of the Mini Cooper, as well as the PT Cruiser for government fleet replacement. And this is, like, really, really cool. You know, I mean, a Mini Cooper was never supposed to, you know, speed barriers anyway. I mean, it's, you know, it's more a bit of novelty, really. But, I mean, what great cars. I love them. And I'm not even a gearhead, and I dig Coopers. But it says the delivered Mini Cooper produces the following performance statistics. A five-speed gearbox allowing speeds in excess of 80 miles an hour, range of over 120 miles, charge time 6 to 8 hours with either 110 to 120 volts or 220 to 240. The battery weight is about 600 pounds, about 270 kilos, of lithium cells, and it has a cycle life of 1,500-plus charges. And they were asked, this is a press release at hybridtechnologies.com. Says, why did Hybrid Technologies select Mexico City to launch its technically advanced lithium-powered Mini Cooper? The Mexican Health Secretary says that more than a third of Mexico's disease burden is the result of environmental factors, the most serious of which is air pollution. A recent CEC study found that respiratory ailments related to air pollution were the cause of death for at least half or more than 2,800 miners who died in the northern border city of Ciudad Juarez. Though especially pressing in the country's largest cities, e.g. Mexico City, Guadalajara, air pollution also has intensified along the border with the United States because of the growing number of factories, as well as the increased truck traffic with the United States. Air pollution in northern Mexico also impacts the United States border areas. Mexico City has the worst air pollution in the country and ranks amongst the most polluted cities in the world. Its ozone levels exceed World Health Organization standards 300 days a year. The Mexican government recognizes the severity of its air pollution problem and has proposed innovative solutions to address it. Well, this is very, very cool. And there's a picture on this page here showing Ambassador Holt having a bit of a test drive, and it just looks like, you know, your normal groovy little green Mini Cooper. So I reckon that is one of the most brilliant moves Hybrid Technologies could have made. And why am I not surprised, having been under the hood of an old Mini Cooper or two? I don't know what these new ones would be like. But, you know, if they've stuck to anything of their history, you know, it's open it up. It's pretty clear sailing getting your hands in there. So, interesting. Very, very interesting. So, all right. Let's set up the old track of the day on that happy note. And this is a happy note, too, because on Friday, we heard that B.B. King went into hospital, and immediately my brain thought his diabetes was wreaking havoc on him. But from All Headline News, it says, out of Galveston, Texas, thankfully, B.B. King is no longer singing the hospital blues. Just a few days after entering the facility everybody hates to be at, the musician has been given permission to go home. On Saturday, B.B. King was discharged from the hospital and feeling fabulous and receiving necessary antibiotics for a 100-degree fever and flu. His management team in New York said the blues legend was then sent home and is already planning to get the show back on the road. Although a few concerts have been rescheduled for later this year, B.B. King is feeling his old self, and his spokesperson insists he is ready to perform in Fort Worth as planned on Tuesday night. In honor of B.B. King, and I chose this track, A Pity to Fool, just kind of, I don't know why, I was reading B.B. King and looking at the protest pictures, and Mr. T popped into my head. And in reference to the administration, I reckon there's a bit of a pity to fool going on with the American people starting to take to the streets, and I hope that this just continues. So to take us out to the bottom of the hour, B.B. King and Pity the Fool. Roll it, Bob.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wadwally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day. to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
You just got to let that line go by, you know. So welcome back to Foxed Up here, folks. Show today being produced by Team Kincaid. Where are we going? Oh, we got just so many things we could possibly do. Okay. Over at good old Common Dreams, via the Associated Press, says the climate report too rosy, experts say. Later this week in Paris, climate scientists will issue a dire forecast for the planet that warns of slowly rising sea levels and higher temperatures, but that may be the sugar-coated version. Early and changeable drafts of their upcoming authoritative report on climate change foresee smaller sea level rises than were predicted in 2001 in the last report. Many top U.S. scientists reject these rosier numbers. Those calculations don't include the recent and dramatic melt-off of big ice sheets in two crucial locations. They don't take into account the gorillas, Greenland, or Antarctica. And Ohio State University Earth Sciences Professor Lonnie Thompson, a polar ice specialist, says, I think there is an there are unpleasant surprises as we move into the 21st century. Michael McCracken, who until 2001 coordinated the official U.S. government reviews of the International Climate Report on global warming, has fired off a letter of protest over the omission. Good on him. The melting ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica are a fairly recent development that has taken scientists by surprise. They don't know how to predict its effects in their models, but many fear it will mean the world's coastlines are swamped much earlier than most predicted. Others believe that ice melt is temporary and won't play such a dramatic role. Hey, fingers in the ears, hands over the eyes. That debate may be the central one as scientists and bureaucrats from around the world gather in Paris to finish the first of four major global warming reports by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the The panel was created by the United Nations in 1988. And, after 4 days of secret word-by-word editing, the final report will be issued Friday. Well, throwing a little bit of doubt into this one here, and why shouldn't it surprise me that Johnny Howard down here was all kind of excited about this one? And Johnny Howard's gotten all kind of... he's turning into the political monster that he is as the election here draws nearer, and it's a bit scary, but I'm not going to get too far into that today. But this is here it says Bob Carell. This will dominate their discussion because there's so much contentiousness about it, said Bob Cowell, chairman of the Arctic Climate Impact Assessment, a multinational research effort. If the IPCC comes out with significantly less than 1 meter, about 39 inches of sea level rise, there will be people in the science community saying we don't think that's a fair reflection of what we know. In the past, the climate change panel didn't figure there would be large melts of ice in western Antarctica and Greenland this century and didn't factor it into predictions. Those forecasts were based only on the sea level rise from melting glaciers, which are different from ice sheets, and the physical expansion of water as it warms. And so, you know, anybody who even remembers their basic, you know, bloody physics classes, you know, can kind of do the math, you know, displacement, expansion of space between the molecules with temperature rise, all that kind of stuff. Very, very basic physics. And you throw this much ice into the mix as a chunk, you're going to have displacement, and then it's going to continue to rise as that ice melts, because it will then physically take up more volume. That's why if you, you know, freeze a glass bottle of water, it can explode. So anyway, very, very, very interesting. So we'll have to keep a very, very close eye on why this is what they say, because it sounds like they're trying to sugarcoat things. And I know it's all kind of scary, and you know, some right wingy type opinion writers around here have been saying, you know, it's a new religion, like Marxism. It's fundamentalist and it's doomsday, like the Bible and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, well, you know, the world's finally kind of waking up to the fact and in the media that this is going on. So, you know, it's just time to get with the learning curve there, kiddos. Because we still have, you know, all this talk is great, but the action's still not happening fast enough. We have to accelerate things in a huge way. And, you know, I think all the projects that outfits like Hybrid Technologies are involved in just are doing very smart things by doing things like, you know, making an electric Mini Cooper. I keep clicking back and looking at the picture of that car. It's really, really cool. Now, the next one that I think would be really cool is if they were able to actually come up with a compressed air Cooper, because I still think that's one of the most interesting ideas. And I mean, it's already in production, is that compressed air car, which I spoke about a couple weeks ago. You know, 150 kilometers or something like that on one tank of air. And, you know, so it's zero emissions, and, you know, producing the electricity to create the compression is like nowhere like a petrol engine. It's just, you know, it's just nuts. You know, so it's very, 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 very interesting. Sorry, I'm having a bit of a powwow with my producer. So, all right, folks, we're gonna move on to the next thing. So, actually, the hybrid technology story came from another story from our friends at treehugger.com. And, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, I was just complaining about, you know, the protests and, you know, the media just focus on the celebrities that are there. But in certain areas, having celebrities get behind things can be crucial to having them become part of the mainstream culture. And at the top of treehugger.com, and there's links to all this at the on the blog post today, George Clooney will promote electric smart car in Italy. And he's dropped a fair chunk of change for one of these early But I'm afraid that in situations like Tony Blair, when asked if he cut down on his flights, he went, "No, I ain't gonna do that." Which meant that after you know, admitting that that global warming was a real problem and that we needed to make changes, someone drew attention to the fact of how much he flies and how actually it's the recreational flight that is one of the most wasteful kind of things when it comes to you know, your carbon footprint. And so what did he do? He went and paid $300 or whatever to make his next flight carbon neutral. And I just don't want this to become a band-aid for everyone who wants to just get around their guilt. And actually, the Sydney Morning Herald, a story that I had from the other day that I didn't get to, there was a piece to this effect, and it says, a green response or just a guilt trip. And there's part of me that has to agree with some of the sentiments in the piece, and doesn't even have a reference to who it's from. Wendy Frew, pardon me, there it is. Helping people offset the environmental damage they cause at work and play is big business, but the critics say, is it effective? And it says, you know, the 50,000 music fans crammed into Sydney Showground on Thursday had come to see their favorite performers, groups like the Vines, who trashed a guitar and a drum kit on stage. The Big Day Out has experienced a phenomenal growth since its debut in 1992. That year, 9,000 people turned up at the Sydney Showground on a hot summer's day to pay homage to a 21-band lineup headlined by Nirvana. Today, the festival includes concerts in 6 cities in 2 countries spread over 2 weeks, backed by a cast of thousands who erect stage and sound equipment, transport gear, shuttle musicians from airports to hotels, and the concert organized food and drink facilities and take away the rubbish. The carbon emissions generated by all that heat and sound are phenomenal, so much so that the concert organizers Viv Lees and Ken West paid $30,000 to have trees planted on their behalf to offset the climate change pollution generated by the festival. For some time now, many at the Big Day Out have been uncomfortable because the gigantic scale of the show churns out through resources with too little consideration for the effect on the environment. The men told two fans, "We feel that we cannot continue with a business as usual approach." And the Rolling Stones have done similar things and whatnot. And more and more companies are claiming to have gone carbon neutral, and even consumers can fork out a small amount of money to have someone else plant trees or invest in renewable energy on their behalf without impinging on so-called lifestyle choices. And see, that's the thing. You can't just do the one. You know, going carbon neutral is, you know, all fine and dandy, but if you're not actually making any changes to reduce your own carbon footprint or in what you do, you're going the wrong direction. It's a very, very long piece. But I think that there's, I don't want this to become the panacea, for the environment where everybody feels like they're doing something but still spewing out the same amount of garbage that they did, or, you know, continue to increase their consumption and carbon footprint. And a quick program note, I've just been informed that due to a bit of a technical issue in the studio, which is not affecting me, but is affecting Mr. Kincaid, we will be having a rerun of Friday's show for Head On tonight. Apologies, folks, apologies. Nothing could be done, and something needs to be sorted over there. So these things happen. But I know Bob is sick to death about it because, you know, he hates the weekend. He wants, you know, he's ripping things apart by the time Monday night comes along. So he'll be... and he'll be raring to go tomorrow, I reckon. So, you know... Anyway, you know, I was saying that this carbon neutral thing, I think it's a great idea, you know, and I like the fact that, you know, things like the Sunrise program over here and the Big Day Out and the last Stones tour, I think, all did this carbon neutral thing. And, yeah, it's great to offset, and it's you know, I mean, we need to plant more trees and making sure that we plant them in areas where they'll actually be able to make it, because this is where in Australia, you know, we're in this massive, 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 never-ending bloody drought. And so where are these trees going to be planted? I know that they wanted to plant some very particular in special indigenous gum trees. And that's great. But will this, you know, slowly singeing island nation be able to sustain them? It is a real worry at the moment. Queensland just announced yesterday that they're putting off a vote on a water recycling plant because they don't have time to have a vote. The premier is just going straight ahead with it because their reservoir levels in southern Queensland have hit 12% of capacity, right? And we're still growing cotton and rice here. Will we be able to sustain these trees even? Hopefully we can. And you know, let's just not use it as a way to make ourselves feel good, please. And where am I going? Where am I going? Here's where I'm going. The Independent, which is a really, really great source for regular environmental and global warming news, one of the mainstream publications that you can go to and find on a regular basis good and important stuff. And Steve Connor, their science editor, has done a piece here called Global Warming, the Vicious Cycle. Opens with the effects of man-made emissions of carbon dioxide are being felt on every inhabited continent in the world, and with very different parts of the climate now visibly responding to human activity. There are among many findings of the most intensive study of climate change by 2,000 of the world's leading climate scientists. They conclude that there is now little doubt that human activity is changing the face of the planet. In addition to rising surface temperatures around the world, scientists have now linked man-made emissions of greenhouse gases to significant increases in ocean temperatures, rises in sea levels, and the dramatic melting of Arctic sea ice over the past 35 years. A draft copy of the fourth report of the International Plan on Climate Change says that global temperature rises this century of between 2 and 4.5 degrees Celsius are almost inevitable. Ominously, however, it also says that much higher increases of 6 degrees Celsius or more cannot be ruled out. And the final version, and this is the report that, you know, Common Dreams was taking some issue with, so I mean we have to keep an eye on this. But even with a slightly rose-colored look on it, it's still bloody serious. It doesn't change anything. It says the final version, as we know, will come out on Friday. But even the Independent even says that even this report makes it clear that climate change could be far worse than previously thought because of potential of of potentially disastrous positive feedbacks that could accelerate rising temperatures. And I saw a story about the U.S. wanting to fund the Big Mirror Project again, and I'm just like, oh, geez. Oh, no. Not that thing again. Okay, a warmer world is increasing evaporation from the oceans, causing atmospheric concentrations of water vapor, a powerful greenhouse agent, to have increased by 4% over the sea since 1970. Water vapor in the atmosphere exacerbates the greenhouse effect. This is the largest positive feedback identified in the report, which details for the first time the IPCC's concern over the uncertainties and dangers of feedback cycles that may quickly accelerate climate change. Okay, this is just like, you know, a bad monitor engineer in a club, you know. It just starts feeding back in itself, and it just starts to become louder and louder and louder and stronger. The climate change models used by the IPCC also found that rising global temperatures will erode the planet's natural ability to absorb man-made CO2. This could lead to CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere rising by a further 44%, causing global average temperatures to increase by an additional 1.2 degrees Celsius by 2100. The IPCC's fourth assessment report will go further than any of its three previous reports in linking the clear signs of global climate change with increases in man-made emissions of CO2 and other greenhouse gases since the start of the Industrial Revolution. And like I say, in hindsight, the Industrial Revolution was a failure. And anyone says, look at all the development. Yeah, but look at the damage we did. Have we actually gotten any further? Confidence in the assessment of the human contributions to recent climate change has increased considerably since the third assessment report. Says the draft report, this is due to stronger signs of climate change emerging from longer and more detailed records and scientific observations. One could tend to get depressed. The anthropogenic signal, the visible signs of human influence on the climate, has now emerged not just in global average surface temperatures, but in global ocean temperatures. The ocean heat contact, temperature extremes on the land, and the rapidly diminishing Arctic ice. Anthropogenic warming of the climate system is widespread and can be detected in temperature observations taken at the surface, in the free atmosphere, and in the oceans, the draft report says. It's highly likely, greater than 95% probability, that the warming observed during the past half century cannot be explained without external forces. Human activity. Human activity. Let's see. The report adds that global warming over the past 50 years would have been worse had it not been for the counterbalancing influence of man-made emissions of aerosol pollutants, tiny airborne particles that reflect sunlight and cause atmospheric cooling. Without the cooling effect of atmospheric aerosols, it's likely that greenhouse gases alone would have caused more global mean temperature rise than that observed during the last 50 years, the draft report says. The hypothetical removal of from the atmosphere of the entire current burden of anthropogenic sulfate aerosol particles would produce a rapid increase of about 8 degrees centigrade within a decade or two in the globally average temp. Oh my word. So, you know, I mean, some of the steps that we have taken have actually slowed it up. We could be, you know, if we hadn't done things that we did in the late 70s, we could be in more trouble than we are now. Ah! Drives me batty. Ah! All right, so, folks, we're going to wrap it up for today. And like I said, Bob is in a replay due to a technical issue over there. It'll be sorted out for tomorrow. Don't forget, Jeff Allen Wolf, now 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays here on the Horn. You got to check him out. You got to check him out. The guy is just one just smooth dude. And Dr. Bill now Monday and Friday, 3 to 5. And Joe Vecchio returning next week. And you're going to end up still having Joe launch off your day as the working man's thinking man. So I think things are moving along nicely here at the Horn. So, folks, thanks to Agnes and Bob for producing today and maintaining things is as things are obviously going a little strange for you over there. And thanks to our bloggers who are having a minorly frustrating day, but we'll get you all sorted out. Thank you for everything. Thank you to our mods in the chat room and Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers. Scott at B1 Louder Productions, thank you for the music. Thank you to Bob for announcing the program. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they do. And we will see you tomorrow. Be good, be green.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
14:10 a.m. The news from the Quality News Network is next.
This is the Quality News Network. Today, the Senate resumed debate on the $122 billion spending bill that funds the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. It contains the withdrawal date of March 31, 2008. President Bush today accused congressional Democrats of meddling in U.S. military strategy in Iraq. He vowed again to veto any legislation with a withdrawal timeline. The president warned it would have disastrous consequences for Iraq's democracy and America's security. Iranian state television today showed video of the group of 15 British sailors and Marines who were seized by Iran in the Persian Gulf waters Friday. The one female personnel member may be freed today or tomorrow, according to an Iranian official. Iran claims the sailors have confessed to trespassing in Iranian waters. However, the British government insists they were in Iraqi waters and has the GPS coordinates to prove it. Britain today froze all bilateral business with Tehran as a response to the situation. At the start of an Arab summit in Riyadh today, Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah condemned the U.S. presence in Iraq, which he called, quote, an illegitimate foreign occupation. He told the Arab leaders that the sectarian violence in Iraq threatened the entire oil-producing Gulf region's stability. In Fallujah in western Iraq, two chlorine truck bombs were detonated by insurgents. The blast near a local government building wounded 15 Iraqi and U.S. soldiers. It was the eighth chlorine gas attack by insurgents since late January. A sectarian revenge attack by Shiites in a northern Iraqi town killed at least 45 Sunni men. There are some reports that the death toll may be even higher, with as many as 70 killed. 18 police officers have been arrested. In Manila, more than 30 preschool children and their teachers